Welcome to today's ICANN radio segment, an initiative of the Clarence Access Network, facilitated by the Clarence City Council. Stay with us now to hear powerful people with disability sharing their lived experiences of making a difference in employment, sport, housing and more.
I'm Fiona Strawn and I'm interviewing today some fantastic Tasmanians. I've got Nicole McKillop, Rowan Mayers, Anna Pike and Rob Tierney. Rob, when did you first realise that there was this day that either was about celebrating us or for people to celebrate us?
I only became aware of it recently, to be quite honest.
Anna, when did you first find out about International Day of People with a Disability?
I first found out about 2.5 years ago. I was on the committee for Access Advisory and I found out through then, and then I became on the working committee for International Day as well.
You're on the Access Advisory Committee of City of Hobart, aren't you?
Yes, for nearly 3 years.
So I understand that you've had some influence on how that International Day is celebrated.
I've tried to bring in more broader to the public, you know, celebrate together, show you know, what we can do and break down barriers.
And Rowan, tell me about when you first bumped into International Day.
I think I first heard about International Day of People with Disabilities 6 or 7 years ago when I started working in the area, but it didn't ever really seem relevant to me. Even though I had a disability, I didn't think it was for me. Probably not really until Anna started working on the committee. Well done, Anna. I think we can credit you with that rising profile. It was really interesting. I knew about it in this sort of academic sense of, oh yes, this is a day, it goes on, it's recognised every year, that's quite nice. But I think I didn't actually realise, oh wait, I'm a person with disability. This day's for me. Until I worked through a bunch of like internalised ableism, really started to own that label.
And do you own it with a sense of celebration now?
It's a work in progress, I think, for all of us. I'm getting a lot better at it. But we spend so much time being told by mainstream society that we have nothing to celebrate or that we need to be pitied or that we're incapable, that deliberate act of choosing to celebrate on this day is our little rebellion. And I love that.
Nicole, International Day.
I definitely heard it was a thing, but really haven't been involved in it since probably last year in Glenorchy.
It's interesting that the first International Day was 1992. It takes shape in different ways, in different places. What do you think it's celebrating?
I think in a way it is celebrating us and giving us some visibility. However, on the flip side of that, that's only one day of the year. There's still 300 and so days of the year where we don't have that visibility and don't have those extra rights, and that's the problem, I think.
Yeah, I kind of see it as like the spearhead. We do deserve those rights and that recognition every day of the year. We do deserve to be proud of who we are and to celebrate ourselves every day of the year. We've been starting a long way behind in Australia, particularly with the way politics has gone in recent years. I see the day as the one day that we make a really big push of it to allow it to start spreading.
Do you think that the community might be curious or slightly bemused because of the stereotypes around disability that we have anything to celebrate?
I think so, because there's always such a negative view of disability. It's always, you can't do this, you can't do that. It doesn't focus on the positive or the social model of disability. And I think once we start doing that more, it'll help break down those negative stereotypes that the public have of us.
Rob, what about you?
I think that there seems to be the generalisation that if someone's got a disability, that they're very limited in a sense of what they can do, anything, whether it be art, whether it be music. And it's sort of like you see occasionally people that are high profile painters and stuff like that. You know, it's important that each of us have got a talent. So it's a day, I think, where we can shine as individuals and as a group and collectively.
I think there's a lot of value in people without disabilities in the broader community, even asking the question, well, what have they got to be celebrating? Because then they might notice some of the answers that we've had lying about here all along.
One of the things that's pretty loud in the media from time to time is this notion of people with disability being a burden on society. International Day of People with Disability, an opportunity to push back, to educate people?
I certainly believe so, because when we've got high profile ministers like Christian Porter, for instance, calling us publicly burdens, having a day where we can push back on that and say, hey, actually, no, we're not. This is what we can do, this is what we do do. That really changed people's perceptions, I think.
Yeah, I think it's really valuable to remind society that there are ways that people can contribute that are not monetary.
Yeah.
There are so many more ways that a person can add value to a community and to society other than just dollars.
You've talked, Nicole, about the educative kind of opportunities of International Day. What's the 101 education around disability that you'd be wanting to see happen?
I was just reflecting on one day a year is International Day of Persons with a Disability, and that to me, just thinking about it, to use the word burden, it's like we're not a burden on this day, but we are all the other days.
We've got the Bipolar Bears, a band from Melbourne. We're playing the track ISO from Wild at Heart.
I miss hanging out with my friends. I want to see my girlfriends and also my boyfriend as well, but I can't.
It's been weeks, months since I've seen them. All I want is to hug and squeeze them. They see me as me, the shame. This day feels like yesterday.
Wait, I'm boiling up part of the team. Everything in life these days feel like a dream. Nobody's here. It's just me, no more booze, it's just me.
Corona, coronavirus, isolation around the world. No more football, no more churches, no one preaching the word.
I have a voice, I speak for the people. Everybody's equal, every single country around the world should be safe, every single boy and girl.
Before I be back where I belong. When it has to be like this, okay. Can't even think about the sports I can't play.
Try not to get disappointed still. Words do harm when you point and kill. Can't choose side with the virus though. That's why we're in survival mode.
Welcome to the ICANN International Day program. We've got Rob, Anna, Rowan and Nicole, and I'm Fiona Strawn. And we've just been talking a little bit about the background to International Day of People with Disability. Anna, one of the areas that you really wanted to talk about was about disability rights. Can you tell us a bit about what that means?
To me, it's about having the basic fundamental rights that everybody else has, and currently we don't have that, particularly in work and school.
Can you give me a school example?
reasonable adjustments. They're meant to offer them to the full degree that they're meant to, and I think that's a big problem with legislation.
So what's a reasonable adjustment?
Say you were in a wheelchair and were doing first aid and you needed to do CPR, but for the sake of a demonstration, you couldn't get down on the ground. But you wanted to put a dummy on a table or something for the sake of a demonstration, that isn't considered reasonable within the way that it sits at the moment.
Rowan, this year's International Day is celebrating people with invisible disability. Tell me a bit about invisible disability and the issues that people might have that others don't understand.
My disabilities are most of the time invisible. It's really dramatic when I'm out and about how differently I'm treated when I have my walking stick, which is my only visible part, versus when I don't. The concessions that I need and the adjustments that I need, the things I need to be safe and functional in my life, are exactly the same at either of those times, except at some points you can see it and other times you can't. When people can't see my disability, they assume it's not there at all. I guess they assume they can make the assumptions that I can do certain things or that I don't need certain things. Even things as simple as getting the priority seating on a bus. I'm a young-looking person. I'm a healthy-looking person. I am absolutely not a healthy person, but I look that way. Back when I caught the bus into work every day, I would frequently get people making comments or refusing to make space on that seat. I really needed it. That treatment by other people, as if you were, I guess, not disabled at all, it translates into you getting treated like you're not trying hard enough, like you're failing, you're not good enough. It's very easy to start internalizing that message that you don't deserve reasonable adjustments, that you don't deserve to have your needs met because people can't see it. And I think it's so important that we talk about that, because invisible disability doesn't mean just one thing. It could mean that someone has really significant mental health issues, or it could mean that they have chronic pain or joint problems that you can't see, or it could be that they're neurodiverse and that maybe they have issues with certain types of sound or certain types of light or certain environments. Really, I guess the important message with invisible disability is to stop making assumptions about what's going on for the people around you. Maybe just ask them what they need, and if they tell you, believe them.
Nicole, can you tell us a little insight into being a woman out on the streets with a guide dog?
Harper and I, my guide dog, only became a team 2 years ago. Before that, I was a white cane user, which is more visible than a guide dog, because people see the guide dog, it's like, oh, because I have dog, everyone loves dogs. Because of the nature of my condition, degeneration of my vision has been very slow. So I've been able to adapt most of the time, keep eye contact and all those social written rules that everyone's supposed to know about. Sort of like invisible disability in a way. Because I can do those things, I don't look like I have a disability, and people assume that I'm a guide dog trainer. The response I get is, oh, that's cool, you don't look like you have a vision impairment, or you don't look like you're blind. But yeah, like with your walking stick, I have a very mild physical impairment. I might have balance difficulties. I have hand-eye coordination difficulties, so that is visible.
Which brings me to when we talk about International Day, we talk about that day where we're celebrating ourselves and people might be recognising the, you know, positive contributions we give to society. Is there an opportunity to build a sense of community, culture and pride?
I think so, by taking back those days for ourselves, as well as educating others, and we're all coming together as one.
I think we already have a really diverse set of cultures within disability. I don't think it's right to say there is just one disability culture or disability community, and I think it's a really nice way for us from all of those separate cultures and communities to get together.
How would you like to get together?
How would I like to get together? I would like to get together more. Yes. Scale it up in all ways.
There's also partly fear that if we're seen together as a group, oh, look at that group of people there, isn't that lovely? We need some fire, a spark.
Maybe we should be borrowing from the LGBTIQ community there. They are really good at taking that spark of a single day or single event.
Mm.
I think also allowing people with disabilities to have a space to hang out and gather would be a good thing as well. Like you mentioned, the LGBTI community, they have wonderful spaces where they can get together as well. That and I think we need some more of that as well as your other marginalised communities.
Yeah, let's do the whole thing. Have our own Pride Week.
Yeah.
You know, fully accessible disabled bars, fully accessible public events, fully accessible Pride March. Let's do it. I think it's great.
Yep.
We've only really just scratched the surface. We could do another 3 programs on some of the stuff we've talked about. But think about, what would you say to the younger self?
I would be saying that you're fine the way you are. You don't have to keep masking, which is something I used to do quite a lot. And putting myself out there and realising it doesn't matter what other people think of me, it matters what I think of me and what people within my close to my life think of me.
To my younger self, I would say there's going to come a point when you're going to go to the doctor and they're going to tell you something and they're going to tell you what the rest of your life is going to look like. They're wrong. Go to a Pride March.
Rob, what would you say to your younger self?
3 things I would say to my younger self would be the 3 C's of life, choices, chances and changes. You must make a choice to take a chance or your life will never change. I wish it... I had somebody had said something like that to be supportive of that when I was younger.
I suppose I don't really know my younger self, but looking back as an adult and, yeah, little Nicole as a child, I would want her to have that pride, to celebrate, to smile, to laugh. And I'm getting really emotional now, but there's no shame in having a disability. There shouldn't have been, there is not, and in the future. So pride is pride, and just have fun.
I'd like to thank everyone. I'd like to thank Rob. I'd like to thank Anna, Rowan, and Nicole. And we're going to finish with another bit of music by a band called Rudely Interrupted, a Melbourne band. And we're going to love you till I die.